Heavenly Father, we come before you. We pray that you would still our hearts, quieten our spirits, and even now, get us ready to receive you. Even now, we welcome you. We ask that you would come and meet with us and be with us and get us into our promised land as we remember, you, and as we remember those who gave their lives, and we are thankful to them, Lord. And we are thank you to you, Lord, for giving us your Son. We receive you in the name of Jesus. Amen. That song that we sang above all is really precious to me at the moment. The words are just amazing. I'm just going to go through it. It's talking about Christ himself. It's not talking about God. It's talking about the person of Christ. When it talks about above all powers, it's talking about him. He is above all powers. He's above all kings, all presidents, all Trumps, all prime ministers, all everybody, everybody that has ever lived, that ever will live. He's above all powers, good and bad powers, physical powers, spiritual powers. And Ephesians talks about invisible spiritual powers. He's above all nature. He's above all created things. In fact, we're told in John 1 and verse 3 that he made all things, and he's above that. Who made the world? We answer God. But in fact, God left all the making of everything to his Son Jesus. There was nothing made that was made that Jesus didn't make. Jesus is Lord, we sing. The universe declares it. Sun, moon, and stars in heaven cry, Jesus is Lord. He made everything. He's above all nature. He's above all created things. He's above all wisdom. We think we're quite smart. Well, we are. But in comparison to this Christ, we're not very much at all. Today, we're trying to remember, and we are remembering those that gave their lives through the years and in recent times for our freedom. Those who gave their lives so that we might live. And we are thankful. That's why we're having a 2-minute silence. To remember and to give thanks. And we're also remembering somebody else. We're remembering God who sent his Son to die for us. He's above all wisdom and all the ways of man. And it says that you were here before the world began. Christ never had a beginning. There was never a time when he never was. He's as old as God. And then he appeared as a baby. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders of this world, above all wonders the world has ever known. This time last year, I went to see some of the wonders of the world. None of them were the 7 wonders of the world, but they were quite wonderful. I went to Petra. I went to Masada. Getting to Masada is amazing. Even getting to Petra and seeing that really clever, amazing civilization, what they did out of sandstone, is almost unbelievable. None of those things that I saw in Jordan and Israel are the seven wonders of the world, but they were wonderful. He's above all wonders. Anything that you and I could experience or see in this world of ours, which is quite amazing, he's above all that. He's above all wealth and treasures. So he demands respect. He demands attention. He needs to be respected by the church. He needs to be respected by the world. Because he's above everything, anyone, and anything. There's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified. He was crucified. But before he was crucified on that Friday, he had a night in a garden called Gethsemane. And the Bible says that actually he almost died in the garden on Thursday. His soul and his spirit and his physical condition were so sorrowful that he almost died in the garden that I visited last year, the garden that I went to with those olive trees that are really, really old, hundreds and hundreds of years old. We entered this garden of Gethsemane. They shut the doors and they said that we had 45 minutes and the public would not come in. And as I fell on the floor, I just remembered, couldn't help but remember about a man who spent some hours in this garden for me. On my knees, just poured out, remembering the Son of God in the Garden of Gethsemane that almost died because of stress. Thinking about what would happen the next day. Somehow, he survived that garden experience. And then the religious leaders got hold of him and beat him badly. And the next day, he was in front of Pilate's soldiers. And they beat him some more, severely. Very severely. Flogged. Then he was led up a little hill, we remember. Stripped naked. They crucified men naked. They dressed the women up a little bit. So there he was naked on a piece of wood. Having had nails driven through his hands, there he was before the world. He was crucified. He did die. The Quran is wrong. It declares that Christ Jesus was not the Son of God. It says, the Quran, that he did not die. He did die. And they put him behind a stone and they put a little wax seal, a Roman wax seal, which was guarded by Romans. And there were many offenses that the Romans would die for. And one of them was, if anyone would come and break that seal, it was as good as being protected by tanks and cruise missiles and loads of other weapons. Because those Roman soldiers guarded that dead man with that little wax seal with their lives, for their lives. Otherwise, they would be killed if they allowed anyone to come, break the seal, get into there. He was crucified, we remember. He was crucified for you and for me, for the world forever. He was laid behind a stone, dead cold. We're told in the song, he lived to die. That's very so true. He was sent to die, lived to die for the whole world. But while he was alive, everywhere he went, every day he lived, he gave life. In life, he gave life. It was good when Jesus was around. If the wine ran out, it ran out no more. If you were dead, you could come alive. If you were sick, you would be healed. If you were poor, something would happen. If you were hungry, you would be fed. If you needed compassion, he would come with compassion. He lived to die, and while he was living, he just poured out his life to help people. He was rejected. He was totally rejected by his closest, we call them friends. One of them betrayed him with a kiss in the garden, just went up to him. Kissed him. One of his best friends, the Judas, just kissed him. When I kiss him, that's the sign, you arrest him, take him, kill him. He was rejected, totally alone. And then he was alone again, we remember. Because it seemed that for a moment, it didn't actually seem, it was a fact for a moment that God rejected him too. And for that time, as he took the sin of the world, my sin and your sin, God turned his back on his son as the sin was poured out on him. And that's why this Son of God cried out, my God, my Father God, why? Why have you rejected me? And then just a little while later, the Bible says, he gave up. He chose when. Although this was happening, he was in total control. When he wanted, when the time was right, he gave up his spirit and said, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit, I'm coming. Bowed his head and died. You lived to die. Rejected and alone, like a rose, trampled on the ground. He was like, he is like a rose. A rose is one of the most beautiful things in the world. Like a rose. Like a beautiful, beautiful thing trampled on the ground. You took the fall. And while he was taking that fall, he was thinking of you and me. He knows all things. He knew we would come. And he gave his life and rose from that death so that we might have life. This is what we are remembering today. We are remembering those who gave their lives. For me, Remembrance Sunday is as important as Christmas or Easter, if not more. That's a personal thing. Because whenever this day comes, I just can't help but remember those that gave their lives, and I can't help but remember my Jesus, who gave his life and is still there for me today, yesterday, tomorrow. In a few weeks' time, my good friend Jay John is coming to the area, to Emsworth. And he's speaking at a carol service with one thing in mind. He's given us an opportunity on that Friday to bring someone who doesn't know this Christ. Last Monday, I had breakfast with an antique man who's got a business in Emsworth, where I live. So he said to me a few weeks ago, "It's my turn to take you out for breakfast." I said, "It is." So last Monday, we're in Driftwood. That's a classy cafe. There's no cafe in Chichester, not even in Chichester, that's as good as Driftwood, Emsworth. So we were there last Monday, 9 o'clock. And I took with me two tickets for the J. John Carroll service. And at the end of breakfast, and I've gotten to know this man, and for some reason he likes me. And for some reason I like him. There's some things going on there, and we've had a conversation about something and some things, and it's great. And when he opened his antique shop, I blessed it. He liked that. He says, and then when another shop opened next to him, he said, "Let me introduce you to that shop. Come and bless that shop." So I put my vicar's thing on and went in there and prayed for him. The other day, this week, I was with someone else, and I forget who now. And I took two tickets with me of the J. John Carroll service, and I gave it to that person. And he said, "Can I bring my wife?" I said, "Yes, bring your wife as well." So I bring this before you today, church, that on Friday the 9th at the filling station at the community centre, I've got tickets with me. It's by tickets only. Come and see me at the end. Come and get your tickets in faith. And then with your tickets, put them in your wallet. Like this. They're in my wallet. You know where the Visa card is? And the cash, if you've got any. Carry them with you wherever you go. Take two tickets. Take one for you, one for someone else, and maybe another one, three, whatever. Just put them in there. And in the next couple of weeks, say, "Lord, who can I bring to hear one of the best speakers in the world declare Christ, to hear one of the best communicators who's got a great sense of humour tell the story, and who will give an opportunity for people to know you?" Let's bow our heads and pray. And the next one, sorry. Thanks. That's a ticket. I've got loads of tickets. Come and get some tickets from me today. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. I'm just going to give us a moment to digest what's been said. A moment where you can come before him. who loves you and me. He loves you and me. Come before him now. Come before him with your request. Ask him. Seek him and knock at his door. He loves you. He's listening. He's here. Amen. Just before I hand over to Nick, I'm just going to give out a few nails. The nails that Jesus was crucified with were not nice like these ones. These are really nice. They're almost hygienic. They're too smooth and small. We're remembering today the Son of God who loved us and loves us.